Thank you so much for being with us. It's the Morning Tailgate. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor, we're all here in our Las Vegas studios. Make sure you text the word buffet into 702-365-9200 for your chance to qualify for the Summer of Fun giveaway, the 6-day, 5-night vacation to Nashville and Jack Daniel's Distillery and money to spend. Text the word buffet, 702-365-9200. We'll also this hour check in on an interesting top 10 list on the best supporting cast in the NFL. And we'll dice that up, as well as hear from Rodney Peet's interview yesterday with Vinny here on Raider Nation Radio. But joining us now is Scott Kennedy from Atlanta, Johns Creek, north of Atlanta, but one of the founding visionaries of Scout.com. He does a fantastic podcast and a wildly successful host with both the Broncos podcast and Atlanta Falcons podcast, and he joins us now here on Raider Nation Radio. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning to you. All right, but we kind of talked about Michael Penix in the first hour. Kind of go back to that draft night. What was your gut reaction when Michael Penix's name was called and he walked across the stage?
Well, I was live. I was doing a live podcast. And with that buildup and that riff that you have going, you got me all fired up. I feel like I'm supposed to be coming out with Triple H or something.
Yeah,
now,
you feel the fire and the smoke coming up. You're back at the Georgia Dome, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm all fired up. So, you can actually see, I clipped it. I was live when that happened, and I clipped it. And YouTube.com/Scott Kennedy, my gut reaction, I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely stunned, because nobody puts $100 million guaranteed into a 36-year-old quarterback and then uses a number 8 pick on a quarterback. That just doesn't happen. I was floored.
It never happens. And at the same time, did you ever feel like, all right, was your a grade on Penix a first round guide? Were there intangibles that you liked? Were there tangibles that you felt like, yeah, this is a pretty good pick? Or did you feel like, other guys would have been more suited for that first round for Atlanta?
Well, and see, that was the one thing I never got into was, hey, is this a reach or this? But, we talked about that a lot on the lead up, where Michael Penix has a first-round fastball. I mean, he's got the arm, no doubt about that. But the injury history scared the bejesus out of me in the top 10. So I had advocated leading up into free agency. Falcons have been talking quarterback since October, because it was obvious that Desmond Ridder wasn't going to be the guy. So we've been on quarterback. So my first choice was always a rookie quarterback. And, once everything kind of fared out with Russell Wilson, and he was going to be available for $2 million, I'm like, dude, the best case scenario in the world would be Russell Wilson for a year and then draft a rookie.
Right.
But going into the draft, I liked J.J. McCarthy better in that spot, just because of I like his ability to throw on the run. The age doesn't bother me so much. Quarterbacks play into their late 30s if they're any good, so 24, 21, I don't really care.
Okay.
But the injury history with Michael Penix scared the bejesus out of me.
Check with me in 2027 when all Falcon fans are going, what a shrewd move that was to get their quarterback in place as a procession plan, because Kirk Cousins is just a limited option at this point, two or three years probably, if that. I think this is one of those decisions that, in retrospect, has a chance to look like one of the shrewdest moves in recent memory, to get your next quarterback in place. Let him learn the system. Let him learn the offense. Let him learn to be a professional. And when it's his time, it'll be his time. But speaking about Kirk Cousins, how much of a home run and just a win-win was it that he was able to get out there in OTAs and minicamp and take every starter snap available when a lot of people didn't think that Kirk Cousins would be ready to go with the coming off the Achilles tendon injury? In and of itself, that is a huge win, I think, for the Falcons.
Yeah, and real quick to talk about your point, because I've hit on this a zillion times about the shrewd move of getting your quarterback and stuff. If you're going to do that, then why dump $100 million guaranteed into a quarterback? Why not get a cheaper bridge?
Because you want to win right now.
And put $100 million in defense. If you want to win right now, why are you using your number 8 on a future quarterback? See, those news don't line up.
Well, I think it's not mutually exclusive that you can't win right now with having drafted a quarterback number 8 to be your eventual quarterback. I think that if you ask people in that organization, they feel like they can win right now. That offense, I mean, I just looked at the 33rd team. I think they had the offense and the weapons and the quarterback situation, the fifth in the NFL, which I may be a little bit high, but it tells you that there's a lot to like about this Falcons offense. And I think that with Kirk as the trigger man, you have a chance to win that division right now. That division stinks. There's an opportunity here for the Atlanta Falcons to win right now, to get to the playoffs, and anything can happen in the playoffs. So I don't think those are mutually exclusive.
It's the other side of the ball that's a little scary that wasn't addressed. And if I've got my target on a 24-year-old quarterback, brother, I want him to start now. He's 24 years old. Let's go. He should be ready, right? But to say about Kirk Cousins, moving on to that, there were three concerns in Kirk Cousins in free agency. One, was he going to be healthy? Two, how much was he going to cost? And three, with his age, is he going to decline? Two of those have already been wiped out.
Absolutely.
You know, he's out there. He looks healthy. And the contract that they signed him for was actually pretty good. The Minnesota Vikings are paying him more in dead cap money this year than the Atlanta Falcons are. How about that for a quick stat that most people don't know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
so the two of theirs, and now the third one, we have to wait and see when he hits the field.
Right.
Scott Kennedy here with us from Atlanta, doing such a great job with All Falcons podcast, as well as Breakfast, Broncos for Breakfast podcast. Are we overblown here hearing some of the reports that Penix didn't impress during the OTAs and minicamp?
If you heard that, then yeah, those are overblown. Okay. I think there's a clear delineation between Kirk Cousins and a raw rocketed arm rookie,
which there
should be.
Yeah,
you know, there should be. You know, I want Kirk Cousins, man. If I just dumped $100 million on a quarterback and he comes in and he's getting outplayed by my rookie already, good Lord, something's really wrong. So, no, I think most of the reports coming out about Michael Penix and his maturity, you know, and then the arm talent have been positive, have been almost all positive.
You know, when you do look at this Falcons draft, you know, obviously quarterback at number eight, but defensive tackle, defensive end, linebacker were the next five picks or four picks. So, I mean, they did. It's not like they didn't address defense, right?
No, but what? Going back to your point about win now, it was strange because you sign your Kirk Cousins to win now, and going back to the offense, y'all let off with the show talking about the best surrounding 10 around the quarterback. Well, hell, the Falcons surrounding 10 is in this argument. They really are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got a veteran offensive line. They've got three top 10 picks at the skill positions. And they, you know, they were a donut team, a big hole in the middle. You know, no quarterback. But then their draft was almost completely, like you said, for 2027. You know, they didn't address edge rusher for until the third round. Well, how many edge rushers do you expect? Max Crosby not counting, you know, there are exceptions to the rule, but how many edge rushers really stand out in the third round to become superstars? The defensive tackle position is maybe the hardest damn position in football to come in and make an impact because you're going up against grown men that squat pianos. So they got depth on the defensive line as eventual replacements for arguably their best position on the team, which is defensive tackle with Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. And they got some depth there. What they didn't get in their draft for this win now team that you went and got with $100 million of Kirk Cousins was immediate impact players. They drafted like they were rebuilding for the future. They spent money on Kirk Cousins like they want to win now. Those don't line up 100%, but despite the fact that they have a weak division and haven't been to the playoffs in 7 years, yes, this team is good enough to win.
No doubt.
But then you get to the playoffs and you're like, damn, it would have been nice to have a fire-breathing edge rusher coming off the edge.
You know, it wasn't too long ago when both the Raiders and the Falcons were safety hungry in the draft, and Richie Grant and Trayvon Merrick were kind of like 1 and 2, 2 and 1. Who knew who was better? But it decided that, hey, Raiders took Merrick, Falcons drafted Richie Grant. Is Richie Grant sliding down the depth chart behind DeMarco Helms, or is it still a battle for number one?
there's still a little bit of a battle there. Number one is Jesse Bates. Let's just get that out there.
No doubt. And that, what a great signing that was.
Jesse Bates is a beast. That was, you know, I've always said there is no positional value on a game changer. Oh, he's a safety. You shouldn't pay him that much, dude. He's a game changer.
Oh, and he picked off Derek Carr last year, and Derek Carr was like, he's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But Richie Grant has been a huge disappointment. And DeMarco Helms ended up playing more than him towards the end of the season. I was a little surprised that they didn't address the defensive back room more in the offseason. But you missed a guy there. So going back to the Falcons-Broncos synergy that we talked about just a minute ago, they traded in that draft. They traded down with the Denver Broncos. And they got they took Richie Grant after trading down. And then they got a fourth-round pick back out of that, and they got Drew Dahlman, who ended up being the starting center. Drew Dahlman's actually the better player. The Broncos took Javonte Williams at running back in the pick that they got from the Falcons.
That's right.
And the very next player was Javon Holland, Miami Dolphins Pro Bowler. Ouch!
Oh, man. Forgot about that. That's right.
Ouch!
So I think the world of Raheem Morris. It was kind of long overdue that he got a head coaching job. I'm not so worried about the Falcons defense because I think Raheem Morris, the work that he did in Los Angeles, getting that thing fixed up after a whole bunch of people had to leave through free agency and they also their draft and development with the Rams. Go look at their draft. They found defensive linemen and impact defensive players beyond just that first round. So my money's on Raheem Morris getting that side of the ball, to a suitable place. It's not going to be a top 10 defense, but I think the presence of Raheem Morris with what he has to work with, and I would expect some of those young players to see the field pretty early. If that defense gets squared away to a reasonable level with this offense, what are the expectations for the Falcons?
I think the expectations for the Falcons coming in is about 10 wins, and then hopefully if you get the right matchup in the playoffs, maybe you can win a divisional game. You're still, and then, like you said, anything can happen. Maybe you get lucky, you know, maybe something happens. But they're still a step behind the 49ers. They're still, I'd probably put them behind the Packers right now, but that's close. And then the Eagles, good Lord, which Eagles are we going to see? If we see the Eagles of the first 12 weeks of the season, they were the best damn team in football, and then they,
no doubt,
something happened there beyond, you don't just go from that good to as bad as they were without losing the locker room or something. You know, there's something going on in Philadelphia. And then keep an eye on the Buccaneers. You know, the Buccaneers played pretty well to finish the season last year. And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody in the NFC. Am I forgetting the Cowboys? No, not really. I don't know how much they've improved this offseason. But, the 49ers are the class of the NFC right now.
It's Scott Kennedy here with us. He also does Broncos for Breakfast podcast up online. And if you feel that there's a quarterback controversy going on in Denver, I don't know. It seems like everyone seems to feel very happy with Bo Nix at this moment. But we even heard how Josh Reynolds from NFL Network, he was on an interview over the weekend. He felt like, you know what, Zach Wilson played well in OTAs and in minicamp, and so did Jarrett Stidham. How do you think this will play out?
I think it's Bo Nix's job to lose.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk that, Sean Payton, some of the other storylines that surround this, or is this, can Sean Payton cement his legacy as one of the best coaches in NFL history? Well, he's hitched his wagon to Bo Nix right now, because the shots against Sean Payton is like, well, you're nothing without Drew Brees.
Right.
Well, find Hall of Fame quarterback, find Hall of Fame coach. They kind of go together. But he's hitched his wagon to this guy, and I think it's Bo Nix's job to lose. Again, you've got a 24-year-old quarterback with 61 starts. You didn't draft him to sit and learn. You know, as long as you're not going to hamper his development by playing him, because you've got a turnstile for an offensive line, and you don't want him to see shadows out there and get shell shocked. I think it's Bo Nix's job to lose, and I'll be absolutely shocked if Zach Wilson takes a snap for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would go to Jared Stidham next, or Jared Stidham might actually, finally win a job and get an earnest opportunity to be a starter. But the bottom line is nobody's thinking about the Super Bowl in Denver, so why not use this year to find out what you have in Bo Nix, or to get him up and running and into the system, and just continue to rebuild around him. But when you think about Bo Nix, is it somebody that you would hitch your wagon to?
Me, no. and again, I did my best to, so I went to Auburn. I saw Auburn Bo Nix, and it was poor. I watched Bo Nix come back to with his first game with Oregon against Georgia. It was poor. I tune into Bo Nix against Washington twice, and it was obvious who the NFL guy was. It was Michael Penix. His arm was just so much better. I go to the Senior Bowl. I'm like, all right, let's get him into, I go 3 days of the Senior Bowl. Let's get them into these controlled environments where he can really unleash it. And I'm just seeing these okay throws. I mean, I didn't see anything that screamed at me. First round pick. So there's a lot of trust Sean Payton going on right now. And, well, Sean Payton got his guy. I'm like, man, how do you know that? He was the sixth quarterback taken.
Right.
You know, how do you know he got his guy? You know, and the next quarterback didn't go till the fifth round.
Yeah, it was the last guy left.
Yeah, there's a lot of fandom going on this time of year where everybody's draft picks are going to be the next big thing, and every guy you got rid of was the problem. And it's a little frustrating sometimes when we're doing these podcasts. Like, listen, I'm trying to be realistic here. Yeah, well, you're just a hater. I'm like, okay, whatever. But, you know, Sean Payton is a hell of a quarterback's coach. He is a hell of an offensive guy. You can look at some of the guys he won with New Orleans, including Jameis Winston.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill. I mean, he's got a 700 winning percentage with those guys. So, for me, it's more about Sean Payton than Bo Nix. And, you know, I just, we'll see. We'll see. If they get their quarterback, then they're going to be a team to be reckoned with in the next couple of years, because they got out from under that contract by eating a record $85 million in dead cap over two seasons. But they'll have some money to play with a quarterback on a rookie contract in 2025.
Yeah, that might be their only way out. Hey, Scott, great stuff, man. Thank you again for coming on today. We really appreciate it. Follow Scott on Twitter or X at Scout Kennedy from Atlanta, from Johns Creek. Thank you so much for coming on today. Let's do it again soon.
Enjoy it. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you.
You got it, man.
Scott Kennedy here with us on Raider Nation Radio. And, when you talk about certain teams having that kind of supporting cast around a quarterback, what we were talking about earlier, Sam Monson from PFF, also 33rd team, had reposted it on who has the best quarterback situation, the team around them, what kind of supporting cast do they have. And so really, it begs to say that, all right, Atlanta Falcons do have something very formidable there. But, you know, for the Raiders' concern, they have certain guys that are on this list that kind of surprised me, saying that, top 10 quarterback situations, I guess Cleveland is in that spot. Deshaun Watson is at number 7. I think defensively, that might be one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. They certainly proved it last year. But for their offense, they really are expecting Jerry Jeudy to kind of start doing the superlative stuff that everyone was hoping for when he was drafted in Denver. Now Jerry Jeudy's in Cleveland, paired up with guys like Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper. And it makes me wonder, is that offense going to be stronger than they were last year? Because this really just comes down, can Deshaun Watson remain healthy, and can they finally move forward and start getting some return on investment?
Yeah, and Deshaun was playing well, the best he'd been playing right before he got hurt. So if he could pick up where he left off, they've got a chance to be pretty good. I think the world of Kevin Stefanski, they've got a run game. They've got a good offensive line. They've got some weapons. So and Deshaun Watson, when he's right, if you can get him back to the quarterback that he was, I don't know that that is possible. But if it is, then he elevates any offense that he's in. And there's enough talent for him to work with to make that a pretty special attack. So going back to Scott's comments about the defense, I get it, but this wasn't a very This, especially at the top of the draft, this wasn't a star-studded defensive draft. You know, where I think the first defensive player to go off the board might have been 15th. You know, with the pass rusher from UCLA. I don't know that there was that difference-making player where they were picking to begin with. So I think in their mind it was there's other defensive players. We got Raheem Morris. He's a fantastic coach. He's known to be a draft and developer and get your defense organized. The track record speaks for itself. I think they were thinking, you know, got the quarterback in place, but we're on a limited deal with Kirk Cousins, and the injury, you know, with the Achilles tendon can always go south in a hurry. Why not just invest in the quarterback for the long haul right now? We got a chance to get a quarterback that we feel really good about down the road. And maybe if it's sooner rather than later because Kirk Cousins gets hurt, you know, all the better. So I'm not so worried about not addressing the defense with that pick. I'd much rather in 3 years, if you're and Michael Penix is playing great, look back and say, you know, he was worth way more than the defensive end from Alabama, you know, coming out or whoever you thought was the top defensive player. And again, it wasn't until the 15th pick overall that a defensive player went off the board anyway. So I get it. You can win right now. He laid it out. This is a 10-win team right now, even without, they think, with, you know, on the high end, obviously, but certainly a team that can win a not so good division. Nobody's talking about them as a Super Bowl champion, and I don't think anybody that they would have taken at that spot where they ended up taking Michael Penix would have changed that dynamic whatsoever.
No, probably not.
Right?
Yeah, because it also, this is a team that also, you know, not unlike how the Raiders were in the, you know, maybe before the last 3 years, were not drafting very well, even on defense. The Falcons still have to kind of like find, you know, plug and play guys in free agency to kind of bolster, you know, the depth pieces. This time around, though, they had to go into the draft, and they did pick four players. They drafted four guys that they could find linebacker depth inside and outside, the defensive tackle and defensive end. Yeah, they might be, you know, second, third, fourth rounders, but that was like the only route they could go, because doing that in the first round, that wouldn't have helped them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could have, but long range, I think Penix is the wiser pick, long range. But this notion that you can't win right now and also think about the future, again, those aren't mutually exclusive deals to me. I think you can do both, and sometimes you have to do both. The Green Bay Packers did that. Do we forget that they, drafted Jordan Love and still went to conference championship games in the and now they're better off for it, right? After moving on eventually moving on from Aaron Rodgers, didn't they do that with Brett Favre?
Yeah, they have so much great continuity that
Aaron Rodgers.
Their approach is so sound when they go into the draft to find exactly what their plan is, and the plan has worked now because they weren't asking Jordan Love to do a whole lot coming out of Utah State.
No, they didn't need him to.
Yeah, so it all
and they still
out.
Won, by the way.
I mean, they're kind of like a sleeper team to, you know, to grab a spot in the NFC Championship.
Right.
You know, they're that sound.
You know, they certainly should compete in their division. It's such a bad division that I would think that they're going to be able to compete for that. And then anything can happen. And that's a step in the right direction for the Falcons. You know, you're trying to, especially with the new head coach, you're trying to just push the thing forward. Whether it's by a lot or moderately, but getting to the playoffs for the Falcons would be a huge achievement, you know, in the whole scheme of their of that group right now. Mm-hmm. So I see the wisdom in doing that, trying to maximize what you have, but also say, you know what, we're not going to necessarily reach for a defensive player here. There's other picks to be had. They also address a lot of defensive needs in free agency. But we got this rare opportunity to get a quarterback that we really like that could be the heir apparent, that should be the heir apparent in a few years when we move on from Kirk Cousins. And hopefully if they did the right thing in terms of, you know, whatever rebuilding and the draft and development that they're doing from now until that point, by the time, Michael Penix takes over, he's going to have a really good situation to step into, kind of like with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And it took him a little while, but look at him now. He's a quarterback that everyone has, you know, their eye on. So again, not mutually exclusive propositions.
No, it's not. And when they're coming off those years with the former head coach Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, they were trying to find something, some sort of semblance of stability. And whatever they were looking at, it just didn't work out because they didn't have stability at quarterback.
Right.
They were like kind of grasping at straws.
They're the perfect example. Matt Ryan leaves. What happens?
Yeah. You know what? You think you can go and bottle that up and do it again next year?
Or just easily find another quarterback? No, that doesn't happen.
They went from a playoff team to 7-9, then 8-8. Even Dan Quinn was like looking for answers. They couldn't find
Desmond Ridder, mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota for a hot second. So that's the point. They lived that life. Of all the teams recently that understood you can't just fall off the face of the earth when your longtime star quarterback moves on. That is the world that they fell into when Matt Ryan ran out of gas and they didn't have an answer to replace him. What they're saying now is we're not going to get caught in that kind of hell right there. Now, Michael Penix might not be the guy. That's fully, on the table. That could happen. But they feel like he has the chance to be. And so it makes sense for them to go ahead and draft the replacement for Kirk Cousins and prepare for life after Kirk Cousins with a quarterback that had a first round grade and by all accounts has everything that you need to succeed at this level.
I think it's good now because for what you have in Raheem Morris, but also bringing over Zach Robinson, those are good structures to build upon here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll come back with more on that that interesting top 10 list on which quarterbacks have the best situation, as well as we'll hear some thoughts from Rodney Pete from yesterday's interview with Vinny Bonsignor here on Raider Nation Radio.
And always a good time, Clay, to talk about our good friends over at Dos Catas Tequila. What's up to Les Kekahuna, our good friend over there. Hey, if you're out and about, town and you wanted to go pick up some Dos Catas Tequila, I urge you to go over to Total Wines or Lee's Liquors. Both are fabulous stores that have and carry all of the labels of Dos Catas Tequila, all the brands of Dos Catas Tequila. Or if you want a nice night out with friends or your partner, head on over to La Casa Cigar Lounge over at Tivoli Village. What they've done, Mike Prieto is the owner, and he's a huge Raider fan. What he's done is paired up all the labels of Dos Catas Tequila with specialty cigars. So you go, you chill, there's great music every night, 7 days a week. You've got Raider fans around you, including Mike, and you're able to sip on some great Dos Catas Tequila and pair it up with a great specialty cigar. So go check that out, Tivoli Village, La Casa Cigar and Lounge. And if you're not here in Las Vegas, it's the easiest thing to do is to go to doscatasspirits.com. You're able to shop online for Dos Catas Spirits products and have them shipped wherever you are. Just go to doscatasspirits.com.
Shotgun to DeVito. Three-step drop. Looks right. Fires over the middle. Through the hands of the receiver. Bobbled and picked off by Hobbs. Working across the field. 35. Cuts up to the 30. And he's brought down at the Giants 25-yard line. It was bobbled by the receiver. Marcus Peters batted it up in the air. And Nate Hobbs has his first pick of the season.
Yeah, go back to that play. I mean, the ball's tipped up in the air. Look like Robert Spillane's gonna get it, and all of a sudden, here comes Nate Hobbs. This guy's running to the ball. Like I said, it's just the strain that we really talked about in that practice Thursday and Friday of not waiting for things to happen, to go make things happen.
Raiders Radio Network with the call. Antonio Pierce coming back. It's Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us here at Raider Nation Radio. Getting your thoughts here on R&R 920. Thanks again to Scott Kennedy doing the Falcons and Broncos podcast from the text line asking, all right, by the time the Raiders face the Atlanta Falcons, who do you think will be that quarterback? Well, that's a big primetime game at Allegiant Stadium, and that's also, December 14th, 16th? December 16th.
Well, I mean, if Kirk Cousins is healthy, he's going to be the quarterback.
I guess that's a question. What do you think the odds of him staying healthy?
Who knows? that's an unanswerable question. But I'm wondering if the texter was asking in terms of performance based. I think Kirk Cousins, if he's healthy, is going to be fine at quarterback for the Falcons. So I don't see any quarterback controversy or them making a move to. I'd be hugely surprised. Not saying that it's out of the realm of possibility, mm-hmm. but in terms of
skill level,
can he stay healthy? you know, that's the great unknown, and we'd really be speaking kind of out of our ear if we were to even speculate. The one thing about Kirk Cousins, aside from this injury, he's been durable. So, you know, if this thing is fixed and ready to go, then the durability has really never been a question necessarily for Kirk Cousins.
There was a thought from the 33rd team, care of Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, about top 10 quarterback situations. We talked about the Atlanta Falcons, they're number 5. From the top, it's the Niners, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff with the Lions, number 3. Jalen Hurts with the Eagles, number 4, C.J. Stroud with the Texans, 5, Cousins with the Falcons, and 6, Caleb Williams with the Bears. That's a very favorable matchup because it's the first time I've ever seen a list where they feel a quarterback has a great situation in Chicago.
Yeah, and it tells you the work that that the Bears did to surround Caleb Williams, you know, with some viable weapons, you know, using the trade market, using the draft, using free agency to bring in people that and players and weapons that they feel gives Caleb a chance to succeed in that rookie year. It was some remarkable work. And then, you know, in the draft, you know, bringing in Rome Odunze from Washington by way of Bishop Gorman out here in Las Vegas, just I felt like he was the best wide receiver in this draft. So, now you've got Cole Kmet, who's a fine young tight end in this league. So,
and Gerald Everett's pretty good coming over from the Chargers.
Gerald Everett for sure, former Ram as well. So yeah, I think that I don't know if they're that high necessarily, but they have the potential to be. When you start looking at Keenan Allen and you know, Rome Odunze and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett in the running game,
DeAndre Smith is I think is a guy that's, you know, he can catch the ball, he can run for short yardage, he's powerful.
Yeah, so all the makings of a really good offense. Now, is the rookie quarterback ready to be that trigger man that they need right away?
Yeah, it's good thought, but you know what? Maybe when you have a playmaker like Caleb Williams, it's the great unknown. You're not really sure, but you know, it all points to a positive end on that, because when you think about if you might have the Vikings in your division that might be on a low end, maybe you're able to actually, you know, scrap out some sort of like balance in that division in the NFC North. And next thing you know, maybe you're in a 500 team. That would be an anomaly.
That would be
great for the Bears.
I feel like the Packers and the Rams are getting slighted in that. What happened to Jordan Love and the good young wide receivers that they have and the two young tight ends that they have? They added,
Josh Jacobs.
They've got a good offensive line. Great offensive mind. And then the Rams with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and the tight end that they have. They've got Kieran Williams, who was fabulous last year as a running back. They reinvested in their offensive line. What's not to like about? They got Sean McVay, for crying out loud. So them not being in the top 10 is a little bit conspicuous to me, and as well as the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, 6. That was Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears for top 10 quarterback situations, according to PFF. 7, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, listen. If it's all depending on him, Deshaun Watson and the Browns,
around him. I think the Rams situation is better than I think the Rams and Packers are better than the Bears
easily. Easily.
Yeah.
It's just like, especially for the Rams when they have all that firepower, and they showed you last year how sound and right from the get-go that was a very good team. And Stafford remained healthy. So what is there to worry about when a guy can play, you know, into his mid-30s and still be able to sling the ball at every angle and the deep throws with the pinpoint accuracy? The sky's the limit for that offense.
Somebody on the when I was sitting in for Q yesterday brought up, you know, insinuating that Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr are the same quarterbacks. I'm like, they're not the same.
Yeah, they're not.
Man.
They're not quite. You know,
Matthew Stafford is one of the most prolific elite throwers of the football that this game has seen in a long. I mean, he is so good with his arm talent, and you know, nothing against Derek Carr. But very few people have that kind of arm talent, and Derek Carr isn't one of them. He's just not.
I mean, Matthew Stafford, let's say if it's tied late in the fourth quarter, are you more worried about Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford if you're playing against them?
If you go outside in the cold weather, you know, big games, what's Derek Carr's numbers in big games, big moments, you know, when you have to have it? Yes, he's had some game-winning drives for sure, without question. But where's the playoff success? Where's getting teams to the playoffs?
And that kind of bothered Stafford, too, because the defense was never good in Detroit.
Right.
But when you get to a good team, What are your record? What is your, you know, record is now better for Matthew Stafford now because he has a complete team around him. The stats were always kind of good.
He's won a Super Bowl
in big games, but now the wins are there.
Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl with the Rams. He's gotten two. You know, he wasn't healthy, so he threw out 2 years ago. He's been in the playoffs now twice. Probably should have beaten. They had a chance to beat the Detroit Lions. That was a very competitive game against a team that ended up going to the conference championship game. And my argument was if you would have put Derek Carr on that Rams team, they're not winning the Super Bowl. Just saying it right now, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. Yes, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. They won the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, but Derek Carr doesn't lift you to that level. Doesn't lift that Rams team to that level.
For this list, though, it's hilarious. Anytime you see Patrick Mahomes at number 8, instead of being number 1 or number 2, he's dropped to number 8 as far as top 10 quarterback situations.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad offseason for the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They did try to add whatever they could around him, but I guess maybe, lists are just like that, like to draw a little bit of ire because Joe Burrow is right underneath him at number 9. So who would think like two of the elite passers in your league are not up in the top 10?
Yeah, and to me, Joe Burrow has, and those are two quarterbacks that put whoever else you want around them, they're going to make those guys better. They just have that that ability to do so. Hollywood Brown is now on the Chiefs. You know, obviously they've got Travis Kelce. They drafted Xavier Worthy. Sky Moore is on that team. So Justin Wilson or Watson, they've got. Mecole Hardman still on the team. They've got capable players where, to me, they're number one all the time with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes makes the situation the best situation in the NFL.
Right, regardless of what's around him, it's still him mastering the situation.
Right. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit better than others with the supporting cast. But until further notice, they're the reigning Super Bowl champions. They always they've been figuring out a way to get it done. They've won 3 Super Bowl championships over the last, 6 years or so. It's hard for me to say that that's not the best situation in the NFL simply because Patrick Mahomes is that good. And now they've, I think, upgraded the talent around him, so that could be kind of a scary thing.
And it's interesting to think where Joe Burrow and the Bengals were, especially after their offseason. And, for the offensive line to still be kind of like, all right, well, we're hoping that this works out. They once again go into free agency to find, Orlando Brown at left tackle. And, they filled their center position with Ted Karras from the Patriots. But then Trent Brown is on this roster as their right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it makes me wonder, like, all right, did they find the right cohesion to protect Joe Burrow? Did they actually go and find, all right, this is our offensive line that's going to lead Joe Burrow into the future? Because you still got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. They've added Mike Gesicki. I think that's a good tight end for him. Zach Moss is brought over from Indianapolis. But when it comes time in November 3rd to play at Cincinnati, could the Raiders defensive line find cracks in the armor against Trent Brown, Orlando Brown, and really an offensive line that is really full of free agents?
Yeah, and they did draft the tackle Amarius Mims from Georgia. Who knows? By the time the Raiders and Bengals hook up, maybe Trent is pulling one of his disappearing acts, and Mims is the guy that replaces
possible.
Him. They like him. He was really highly regarded coming out of Georgia, and I think the one thing that Trent Brown gives you, especially if he's on the field, whenever he's on the field, he's a good player. But maybe he also buys Mims some time to get his feet under him and get acclimated, and then at some point there's a changing of the guard. So they definitely address the offensive line in two ways by through free agency and through the draft. So they're hoping that of those three guys that they brought in, and whether it was free agency or the draft, that by the time it's all settled, two of them are going to be the offensive tackles that they need them to be.
All right, we're back after this on Raider Nation Radio. Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. He also joins us at 9 o'clock, top of the next hour. Let's go.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Miles Simmons will join us in a few minutes from ProFootballTalk.com and PFT Live. National football writer. We'll talk to him about news around the league as well as the Raiders coming up at the top of the next hour from the text line 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. You can always send in the word buffet so you can get qualified for the Summer of Fun contest. 6 days, 5 nights in Nashville. Buffet. Text that word in. You get hooked up for a chance to win in the Summer of Fun from Planet
Clay.
Nissan.
Let's be honest with our listeners. Why are we bringing Miles on from Pro Football Talk? Let's be...
To talk about Tom Jones.
To talk about... They just released their power rankings, and the Raiders are number 26 on the power rankings behind the Denver Broncos.
Never heard of it.
Behind the Denver Broncos. The Chargers are number 15. How is this possible, Clay?
I think that goes under the umbrella news around the league.
He's got to answer to something here, man. I know it's Mike Florio's. I know it's Mike Florio's byline on it. So, but come on, man. 26. Let's talk about that for a second.
Didn't we do that? It was 24th, the last power rankings that came in from NFL.com, right? And it's still the same thing. Like, this is just a disrespect.
How do you have the Denver Broncos ahead of the Raiders?
What power quotient are you favoring over the Raiders that Denver has and the Raiders don't?
Their quarterback situation is just as tenuous as the Raiders. I would say that right now maybe the Raiders have a little bit of an advantage with, at least Aiden shown some semblance, that he could play at this level without question. And Gardner Minshew has... a body of work behind him. And from top to bottom, the Raiders roster is just better than the Denver Broncos.
I mean, you could
at every level, you
could say at every level, special teams, defense, offense.
Right. Weapons.
And there's you're trying to figure out all right, who's your defensive stopper, on Denver's defensive line? But who's the run stopper? Who's the pass rusher? It's up for grabs because it's all middling, the same sort of mediocre
results.
The
Chargers at number 15? How?
Oh, that's classic.
Right?
So that's the classic
Miles
Chargers
is our good
balloon.
Friend. I had him on our show, yesterday in the afternoon, and he was definitely a good sport about it. But, the more I even thought about it, the more I slept on it, it's just ridiculous to me. And I know it goes all to the quarterback, but there's nothing about Gardner or Aiden that suggests that they're going to be. To be the 26th best team in the NFL, you're probably saying that they're going to have 4 or 5 wins or so?
Yeah, that's like a 6-win, 5-win team. I don't see that team going in. I'm looking at it as objectively as possible. From coming off what they had last year, there's no regression.
There shouldn't be. And obviously the hope is that whether it's Aiden O'Connell taking another step forward in year two or Gardner Minshew, frankly, just doing kind of what he's done in his career. It's been enough to create some, especially with this supporting cast. He's never had this kind of a supporting cast here that he has with the Raiders. So to say that they're starting off at number 6, I just don't see it, man.
Okay, I want you to ask him that question.
Of course I will.
Hold him to the fire, Mr. Accountability.
No doubt about it.
I want to find out about Tom Jones, Miles Simmons.